Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
NASA has decided to send nude photos of humans to outer space to attract aliens. And your conscious mind has to wonder if these photos were sent to way too young interns instead of extraterrestrials. Wouldn't they just call that being a senator? But I'm talking to you. Your unconscious mind is now tuned in to its favorite late-night talk show for the shamelessly fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Yes, it is I, Greg Bornstein, talking back to a reverb version of myself, as always. Welcome to the show. Now, what in the heck is an open loop? We'll get back to that in a minute. You see, my goal is to challenge your existing belief systems by sharing radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and allow you to step into the highest version of yourself. Today's episode, tricky. I almost hesitated to put this out. I'm not even sure I should put it out. It sits in a weird place. I'm holding two different ideas, leaning towards skepticism, but, okay, let me put it this way. A while back, last year, I had someone on my show named Eric Parsons, who claimed to have chronovision and claimed he was running for president. That interview came after I did a series of interviews about a year ago. These were released, called Podcast Pegasus with Andrew D. Bishago, who, he claims and actually makes a very credible sounding, the most credible sounding I've ever heard case, for being a time traveler as part of the U.S. time travel and teleportation projects in the middle of the 20th century. Wild sounding, I know that I'm even using the word credible and that, but if you listen to that four-part series, actually I think it was five parts, including the guy after that still claims he's part of the project, you'll realize that something's going on with this. There are enough secret space program people. There's a lot of talk about DARPA and connections to Los Alamos and Area 51. Montauk. I mean, Montauk. Look at the entire Montauk project. Philadelphia experiment. Again, it could just be a psyop. It could just be something that the military put out there to make us believe that they're much more powerful than we even realize and distract us from the evil stuff they're actually doing. I'm not sure. I'm starting to think Montauk is a big old cover-up story for, well, I allude to it in this episode. Point is this, in the era of Stranger Things, which borrows hugely from the Montauk Project, it's a great tribute to everything that was going on there. The Duffer brothers did their research. I thought, hey, let's talk to another time traveler. Now, I forgot what Andy Bishago said about this guest today. In retrospect, I'm starting to think that he didn't speak to he doesn't give him too much credibility. And then you have Eric Parsons, who swears that this guy is the real deal, Apex TV. Now, for those that don't know, Apex TV was, still is, a YouTube channel, got very popular for putting videos of supposed time travelers up there. And this guest happened to appear on it. And he was on our, I think, a radio show or two. Very much claims that he's part of a project, secret project was coming forward, and that he needed to disclose everything that he'd been through, the different planets, the deep underground military bases, traveling around the world. And he also happens to be a rock musician. Couple weird, there are a lot of weird anomalies. Is Eric copying Michael, because Eric's also in a rock band? Is Michael copying Andy Bishago, who was trying to run for president in 2016 and keeps saying he's going to run for president? And Michael McIntosh, the time traveler, the rock star of Young Astronauts Club, who is on this show today, is he just making this thing up? He doesn't. Here's what's tricky about this. Here's why this story is fascinating. If you're intrigued by a sometimes more spoken than not conversation with somebody that is very much, I mean, I am looking to make sense of Michael's story and looking to find the compelling evidence or compelling anything that what he says is true. And he is able to spin things and give me, well, you know what's interesting? I think the conversation actually did give me some new perspectives on the elites, this idea of the elites in society, and is everybody that is rich a bad person? I never thought that, but he does call attention to some mainstream views that a lot of people have because he claims he wants to run for president. You know, even as I'm saying this to you all, I don't know if I can put out this episode. I can't. Should I even put this out? Do you want to hear this? This is weird. Okay, tell you what. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to... The guy claims he's a time traveler. Oh, no. I'm going through such self-doubt as I'm talking to you all. I can't even believe this. I was so ready to put out this episode, and now I'm going, this isn't up to the journalistic... I mean, there's no journalistic scrutiny on this show, necessarily, but I don't know. I don't think Michael necessarily presents a good case for why he's actually a time traveler. But that said, his story is unbelievable. And the idea that he would just keep going and insisting on it and has been telling the same story for years makes me wonder. Just makes me wonder. He doesn't even care if you believe it or not. That's what kills me about this guy. Sits right in the middle. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put out an hour of this interview. You're going to get an hour of this. And if you like it, I want to know. Reach out to me at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram and send me a message saying, give me hour two. I want to know your thoughts. Do you think he's making it up? Is it BS? Or is he telling a true story here? Is there something to listen to? Because once he starts getting into the aliens and the origin of some of the most important, quote-unquote, black ops groups in the U.S., you wonder, what? What is he saying here? What is he saying? Okay, look, I'm putting this out because it might be a piece of performance art, like the Eric Parsons episode, taking different pieces of time travel and conspiracy stories. And also, it's going to relate to next week's episode with Robert Guffey, who is an expert in conspiracy theory as art form, and wrote a really interesting book on QAnon. So, look, I'll put out the first hour. If there is interest, reach out to me at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram. Send me a message. Let me know. If you like this show in general, or you really want part two, you can also rate the show in Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Give me Michael McIntosh, part two. Give me part two. Truly, I don't know. But this is a man who claims not to care. And he wants to run for president. So, you know what? Hey, I never know what to do with these kind of things, because while I really had a fun time and this was a fun conversation with a guy who is wanting to run for president, claims he doesn't care about his band promotion, though he does have a lot of new music coming out, coincidentally, he's sticking by his story being part of this project. I'm just trying to be honest here. I'm just trying to be honest. So, here's part one. Oh, gosh. I'm doing my best. I have some people that... Yeah, I'm doing my best here. Consider this a piece of art. Here he is, Michael McIntosh. Today on Open Loops, we have a internet legend. At least that's how a lot of you know him, though he seems to be involved with a lot more than just trending videos in the fringe category. Michael James McIntosh of Young Astronauts Club, band putting out some really very interesting music, as well as he's experienced time travel. As a matter of fact, he had, if you're not aware, on Apex TV, which puts up a lot of people that claim to be time travelers, Michael had one of these videos that went wildly viral. So we're going to explore what exactly is going on there. How much choice does he have in these matters? Is he a part of a secret space program? Why is he a time traveler? Why is he also potentially going to be president of the United States in 2024? This man is a legend. Honored to have him on. Michael McIntosh, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to speak more on particularly the time travel subject, because it is very misunderstood by a lot of people, and I would like to be able to help people understand it better and clear up any questions they might have, and I'm sure many people interested in the subject and in the subject still do have a lot of questions about it, because they don't have as many experiences with it as other people.
Yeah. So, what was it? I mean, what was the thing that prompted you to decide to come forward with your story? What was the initial impulse you had there?
Initial impetus behind it was ultimately 22 years ago I became a minister, actually a teacher, and part of what I do is helping people to learn the truth about certain subjects, and basically by extension of that I figured that it was appropriate for me to help people also learn the truth about certain subjects pertaining to particularly our government and how that affects them. And when I started to have these, after an injury that I experienced in 2010, when I started to have these memories coming to me of experiences that I had started having when I was a child, that had been blocked out of my memory. But because I had a lot of free time, because I was injured, I was essentially disabled for like 2 years, actually. And so starting there, I had a lot of time to kind of unravel what had happened in my life. And moving forward from there, remembered a whole series of events that started when I was about 5 or 6, starting back then, and they involved contact with extraterrestrials, awareness of secret space program technology, such as UFO craft and very highly advanced spacecraft, teleportation, not just on Earth, but also teleportation to Mars and back, and also time travel and extraterrestrial beings. The fact that we had been in contact with them for, at that point, many years already.
Yeah.
But I know there are a lot of people who have said, you know, yes, I've experienced one or all of these things and more. But I figured that it would be appropriate for somebody with the street cred, I guess, of having been basically a minister for 22 years. It's like, well, here's someone who's honest, who tells the truth, who is renowned for that, who's known for that. And I'm here to say that these people are, by and large, probably telling the truth. And I can attest to that from my own experiences.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Michael. I mean, I'm wondering in terms of, because, you know, when you have, I mean, the closest example is Andy Bashago of Project Pegasus, you may have even run into him. I mean, it seems that you were part of a program with Barack Obama, and Andy claims he went to Mars with him. But the thing that Andy had the connection with, that I'm curious in your case, is that his father was involved with, I believe it was Parsons. His dad was very involved in engineering and science, and it would make sense, and supposedly you can even trace his father to some of the early government contractor work that was going on related to mid-20th century time travel experiments. So I'm curious, in your case, was there a reason you think you were involved? Did your family have a connection? Was there anything government-based? Why you?
Well, I mean, it's a very good question. I'm sure there are quite a few reasons. As far as my family and ancestry go, I'm sure that's part of the reason. Particularly when it came to the teleportation projects, it's because he's my dad's great uncle, Howard Hughes. The legendary aviation pioneer. And he was the guy who was behind the development of the teleportation technology. So I think that I was probably put into that as a child, merely because I was a relative of his and I was still a child. So they probably figured that, well, we can put kids in this because they're more resilient and, you know, they're not as susceptible to being mentally destroyed like adults would be. I mean, I'm over it. Basically, it hasn't affected me hugely in the long term, so it's kind of like, I mean, it is kind of a big deal, but to me, it's not, because I was just a kid, you know. It doesn't, like anything that happens to you when you're a child, it's just, you kind of just go, well, that just happened to me when I was a child. It's not like, but yeah, so I think that might have had something to do with it. Probably also, if I look carefully at my ancestry, I am actually related to most of, if not all of, the previous U.S. presidents. So it's kind of like, it seems like with certain projects, they basically select people who they think might have, or they indeed probably know, have potential with certain tasks in the future to kind of train them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the teleportation to Mars and back thing was basically a survival experiment. And from what I hear, they did that to thousands and thousands of people, and only, you know, a relative handful came back and actually survived. I mean, Mars is a very dangerous,
possible place.
Yeah, and that's one or two reasons, I guess. But I'm trying to think what other reasons there might be. I'm sure there are others. I just haven't really thought about it too much.
Yeah. So when, there's so much here. I mean, my gosh, Mars. What do you think people are misunderstanding about Mars? I mean, I've talked to people that say they've been to Mars. I've talked to people that say it's where we all came from. And right now you see like that someone posted that picture of the looks like almost an entryway, a door on Mars from one of the NASA photos. Is there life on Mars still? What life was on Mars? What's the situation?
There is. In fact, that doorway from that NASA picture looks like somewhere I've been. If you look at if you Google, Mars exploration, Mars remote viewing exploration 1984.
Yes.
The CIA has actually published a document, has declassified a document about that. I was actually one of the people who helped make that document.
Really?
Yeah, it was made by myself, a child at the time. I was, I guess, probably no older. I must have been six. I have to do the math still on that, but it was either five or six. And the other person was then about 19-year-old Barack Obama, who helped. We worked together on making that document. We had teleported to a cavern that looks just like that photo. And if you go into that, I don't think that's the exact location, but it's a very similar location, and there are multiples of them around the planet.
Does that mean people are living inside? Is it like a underground?
There's an underground Martian civilization of humanoid Martians that actually live underground. These are the ones that created an underground tunnel system on Mars. And they basically moved underground because their surface civilization basically destroyed itself.
Huh.
And we were able to assess this by remote viewing. And that paper, that CIA paper, actually discusses that in pretty good detail, I think. But they sent us there to actually remote view. That was the purpose of the making of that paper. They sent us there to gather information. It was essentially an intelligence gathering mission.
Yeah.
And they used me because of my genetic background, I have certain inherent mental abilities, and I'm able to actually still, even now, remote view without use of technology. I can just use my brain.
Yeah, and I had somebody else who is a fan of yours, Eric Parsons, on the show. He uses the term chronovision, but he gives you credit for it. Chronovision.
I didn't come up with that. So.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, or at least, you know, it's kind of weird. His story is very similar to yours in a weird way, or at least he's doing an artful tribute to it. But chronovision, what is that? Where did it come? Where did the term come from?
Well, chronovision is a different type of thing than remote viewing.
Okay.
The two are often confused. But chronovision is actually the ability to see through time.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes it's used, sometimes there's technology involved in doing that, and there are actually people who are able to do that without the use of technology.
So with remote viewing, then, what is it that you're, that differentiates you as a remote viewer versus most of the remote viewers out there?
Nothing. I mean, remote viewing is just an ability to see what's going on at any geographic location in that particular point in time.
Like you just happen to be very skilled at it.
Well, it's not even a skill. It's just an inherent ability that a lot of people with a certain genetic background actually have. I'm like half Irish. So it's like I'm like descended from Druids or something, I think. I'm not really sure there. I'm not
Yeah.
my ancestry, but it's some sort of a genetic ability.
You're not a lizard person, are you?
Don't be silly.
Just making sure. No, I mean, look, they do talk about the bloodline stuff. I don't know. You know what? This is the problem, Michael. It's like there's so much disinfo out there, right? You know, so many people are like, oh, but the government, look at the founding fathers and everything descended from these 13 royal bloodlines. And those are the lizards. And, you know, and it's you're going, ah, how can we ever sort through?
Well, they're being, I think, you know, there's a lot of hyperbole there.
Yeah.
I don't think there really are actually any lizard people, but
that's good. That's good to know.
If you want to call the 13 people descended from the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati lizards, then I could possibly be one, but.
So you did descend from the 13, like you can trace it back to the 13 bloodlines for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you certainly can trace the politicians, you know, George Washington. And yeah, I mean, it all goes back to that. So that would make sense. But let's go back to Mars for a second. So you're telling me Barack Obama, 19 years old, you're there. Gosh, I mean, they're asking you the remote view on Mars, and they're asking you, they're telling you to go to the jump room.
Well, they took me there. You know, I was in kindergarten at the time. I was, you know, like 5 or 6, and I was living in Calgary in Canada for a couple of years. My dad was working up there, and so we weren't even in the United States. And so these guys came to my kindergarten class and like talked to the teacher, and they seemed to know who I was. They were like, can we take this kid out for a little while? They took me out. They asked me a bunch of questions on a form, you know, like a clipboard. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, will you come help us with something? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so they put me in a car, took me to this nearby like a warehouse hangar type, which I later found that was actually a warehouse on the very first joint U.S.-Canadian Air Force base called Lincoln Park, which was formed after World War II, which I lived right on. I didn't even realize it was an Air Force base I was living on. I was living on it basically just off site off the Air Force base.
Yeah.
So they took me there, and they're like, well, then I get the next thing I know, I'm like teleporting through this two tall like jams of a door. It's they're like things, and you just walk through them and it teleports you. And next thing I know, I'm in what I later figured out was California. And that's where I was brought to meet Barack Obama. In what I also later found out was El Segundo, California. It's a building that's still there, just outside it. It's Imperial Valley Parkway, I think is the name of the street. And it's a 999 Imperial Valley Parkway. It's a very famous building. It was like a video game company for a long time. You can Google it. There's pictures of it. And we went in there. We went up. a few floors in the elevator. There's a whole empty floor, completely vacant. There's a woman sitting at a desk there, and she's like, "This is him." And Obama's like, "Yeah, this is him." And so she was really nice to me. I later figured out that this woman was a woman named Regina Dugan, who was later on the head of DARPA and also
one of
the lead developers at Facebook.
Right. That's a little scary for the people listening out there, but yes.
Yeah, I know. So the next thing we know, we're in this elevator and it's floating, it's going up, and we're like, but then we're no longer in the elevator. It's like we're moving through space, not really floating, but like, and the next thing you know, we're at the, in an elevator at the other end, and it's in a cavern below the surface of Mars, like on the surface of Mars, just like that picture you're talking about with, with the recent NASA picture, the picture of the doorway and the dome type of dwelling.
Is that mind blowing for you? Was that the first time you think you teleported, or was that, had you already time traveled? Before that,
I had had ET encounter experiences, and I had had visual contact with secret space program stuff. The very first thing I saw was secret space program stuff when I was camping in Calgary, north of Calgary, actually, we're way out in the wilderness. And I saw this giant, like, city block sized craft just floating there. I was like, what the hell is it? But, like, it didn't startle me. It didn't really, like, I was kind of like, what is this? You know, I was only a child, I was like five or six, so I didn't have any kind of frame of reference, but it was still like, what is this? Like, what am I looking at? And that was it. Like, that was that. And then shortly after that, I had had contact with extraterrestrials. They literally took me out of my bedroom to try to, I think because I had seen the secret space program stuff, and they wanted to try to make me forget about it or something. I don't really know. But
how are you living your quote unquote normal life at this point? I mean, do your parents know about this? I don't know if you have any siblings or close friends, but are they aware of any of this?
Yeah. I mean, other people are aware, but it's not like they're going to talk about it.
Right.
There's plenty of people aware of this stuff.
Did you ever go to your parents and say, "Hey, look, I've seen aliens"?
Well, you know, it's not that unusual, really. Honestly, you know, it's like, I'm sure they have also. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's, you know, what's for dinner kind of thing. You know.
Wait a minute. That is quite well. Maybe in your bloodline, that's what it's more like. But I guess for those of us out here who haven't had the experience of such a thing and wondering if these aliens and time travel technology and all this stuff is real, I'm going like, wow, how can these people so casually just have their son or a member of their family get involved with a government program that, for some, actually, I mean, you seem pretty stable, Michael, but some people kind of get tortured by these programs.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a resilient person, you know. I'm not really, like, you know.
Do you think that you have that in your blood?
No, it's not really because of that. I think it's more because of my education, honestly. I think that the fact that I became a minister 22 years ago, and I've always had a deep interest in theology and understanding about the nature of the universe. But I think when I started having these memories, it just really didn't shock me all that much, because it was like, well, yeah, it makes sense. It it lines up with my understanding of the nature of the universe. So it's like,
yeah,
kind of doesn't really faze me all that much. I wish I could remember more. That's the problem. I still have memories that I haven't actually been, like, I haven't had time to really sit down and kind of like access what's completely in there. You know, it's like, there's a lot.
Have you ever wanted to see like a hypnotist?
Well, my wife is also a minister, which is convenient because she's able to help me with these types of things without actually having to go to a profession or pay somebody to do it. And, you know, she's helping with like regression therapy stuff. That's how we really started to get the initial memories, is because like I was injured and I kept trying to figure out why I wasn't healing fully from the injury. So I had to kind of go back through my life and figure out where all the traumas were and why I wasn't kind of getting over them and moving forward. And I just kept getting stuck at these points in time where I couldn't remember what actually happened. And so we focused on that more, and that's where we really got into actually having these like deeply, deeply hidden memories that were suppressed, deliberately suppressed.
Wow. Yeah. You know, tell me this. I mean, this is very interesting to bring that your wife was involved in that process of unraveling. I mean, did she look, being a minister, it's great that you, again, you are so open minded to these ideas. But from her background, I mean, is that kind of a shock to hear that this man that she's married to is involved in a secret space program?
To her, no, not really, because her family was also military.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like, you know, she's old American too, so it's kind of like we know a lot about the history of a country. And so they're very, let's say, unique things that have happened in our history. And that, you know, a lot of people wouldn't really consider as even possible, frankly. But the United States has been prone to some very unusual things since its inception.
What comes to mind as you're saying that? What's one of the first things that comes to mind?
Well, if you want to take an example, we can, and I believe it's real because I've experienced similar things, that our foundation was indeed guided by time travel. Like, if you look at that, we were talking about Andy Bishago earlier. He mentioned an instance of where he was involved in, I forget what he called it, quantum access.
Yeah.
Technology, something where he literally got to travel back to talk to George Washington.
Yes.
And literally told him how he was going to win the Revolutionary War. You know, so I mean, what other country has that as our founding? I mean,
yeah. Have you ever spoken with Andy? Have you ever had a conversation with him?
Yeah, Andy and I are on good terms, you know, I think.
Yeah,
we've talked quite a bit, and we've worked together. So, like, I mean, he and I were part of some of the same missions, and actually, I helped train him.
Really, you helped train him?
Although he's older than me, I helped train him. Yes, so, I come from a more kind of military background than he does, I guess. So it's kind of maybe appropriate that I would have been able to give him some learning in certain things.
Yeah. I mean, he's talking about some revolutionary things. I don't know if you encountered any of this in your time, but the Project Galileo. And I've heard this from secret space program people, too. Someone came in my show and said the same thing. When you're learning history as a kid, especially the history of this time travel, there's like a rapid learning module that they put the kids through where they're just like flashing history at you in a way. It's almost like taking the pill from Limitless or The Matrix, where you just install the knowledge. I mean, did you encounter or what did you encounter that was similar to that?
Taking acid? I don't know.
did you take acid in the as part of one of these programs?
No, that was at a party in Boston in 1999 when everybody was expecting the whole world to collapse during the Y2K bug.
And you taking acid, did it do something for you? Did it do something for you that's different given your remote viewing and chronovision and your background? I wonder what U plus acid equals.
I was just kind of making a facetious joke, but
I was kind of hoping it was leading somewhere, but I that's fair. That's fair. No, but okay. Some people do learn a lot of stuff on acid, and but mostly about themselves, I guess, in the right context.
I don't think there was any sort of condensed learning process for me. It seems like
he called it Project Galileo. Project Galileo was
okay. I'm not sure what that is, honestly. I mean, I know that Vaishago has kind of made up his own
right
words for things, just to kind of.
Yeah, even Pegasus isn't the name. It's just the name.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know the name? Is there a name for the time travel programs?
There's no name for a lot of things, you know what I mean? It's just words. You can call
yeah. Do you think right now Barack... Okay, was he Barack Obama back then, or did he go by his other name?
I didn't call him anything. It was just the guy I was with. Like, we didn't use names, you know. But I had heard that he used a different name back then.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? I want to shake this guy down in a way. I mean, Andy has publicly said he should come forward and talk about his time in Mars, which is, I mean, it's almost wilder to believe that he would ever agree to that than he actually went to Mars. But he's done it. You remember him. I mean, do you think there's any hope? Like, if you and Andy Bashaga went up to Barack Obama and just stared him down, yeah. I mean, could we get this guy to remember? Would he even have the ability to remember?
Well, I mean, he smoked so much crack, he might not remember anything. You know?
Is that another facetious comment, or was he a crack smoker?
Rumors. These are just rumors. I don't know. I mean, that's a joke, but as well, kind of. But like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, whoever, I don't think it's really anybody's job to kind of make anybody come forward about anything. If people want to do that, that's their own choice, you know. I'm not doing this under any sort of compulsion, like I'm, you know, or under any sort of duress. It's this, I'm talking about this stuff because I want to talk about it. And actually, hopefully, the thing I hope to accomplish most is that there are people out there, and thousands of them, who have no memory of these types of experiences that they more than likely have had. And I think these people are, you know, probably suffering greatly because their memory doesn't work properly, and they don't really know things about their own life. And I wish they would, because it would help them to heal as human beings and live better lives, you know?
I'm very curious about this. I mean, look, have you done any like psychological examinations? Have you talked to anybody that says, you know, no, this is an experience this man had. We don't know how it happened, but he's not making this up. This isn't like a pathological thing. This is something that he had happen.
I mean, I don't think there's any benefit in doing that, honestly, because if a person has their mind made up already about whether or not this stuff is real, that's kind of usually taint any sort of assessment that they may have. So it's kind of, I don't think it would accomplish anything, honestly. It's, you know, I don't really need that kind of validation, to be completely honest. I'm not really trying to prove anything either. It's just, I'm trying to just tell it as it is. And people are free to believe it or not believe it. And I think if people want to hear the truth, they'll hear the truth.
That's very interesting. Well, I'm just thinking of the work of John Mack, who is from our neck of the woods. He was a Harvard psychiatrist and was interviewing all those alien abductees and concluded that there's no psychological delusion going on. Something's going on there. And I don't know if anybody's really taken time to do that with people in the secret space program, because abductions are one thing, but secret space program stuff is coming up more and more. And I think it would be interesting.
Well, you know, the reason for that being that the secret space program was secret.
It was, yes.
Yeah, since 1947, it began in 1947 as a section of the Air Force, and then Trump made Space Force, which is effectively a form of disclosure of the existence of something that's been around since the 1940s.
Yeah. You told me that you have a connection to Roswell. Yeah. What is that connection? There's like a major connection, right?
I was the guy that flew the craft.
You flew the craft.
Yeah. Like, I was at a hotel in Europe, and it was, I guess, 2019 at this point. And I was, you know, just chilling out in my bed and stuff, hanging out. And next thing I know, I'm being visited by these creatures who I've encountered now my whole life. People call them gray aliens, beta reticulans, whatever you want to call them. And they took me on board this craft, the same as the Roswell craft, the saucer-shaped thing. And instead of just, you know, taking me as a passenger this time, they allowed me to have control of the craft and let me fly it. And I was kind of shocked because, you know, that never happened in any of my prior experiences. So this time, I had been really previously to that, I was really adamant about, like, telling as many people as possible about this stuff and, you know, trying to help them open their minds a bit. And so the only thing I could think of when I got control of the craft was this. I knew it flew really far, really quickly. And I also knew that it traveled through time. So in order to further what I was trying to do with disclosure of things to people, I deliberately flew it back to the 1940s in Roswell and crashed it.
Holy moly. What?
And it was then I realized, wait, I just did something that already happened, and this is a hugely famous incident. Holy crap. And I'm like, wait, I'm the guy who flew the roof. Oh my God. I was freaking out, but then I realized, like, oh yeah, okay, I know what I'm doing here. I crashed the craft. I want to get the attention of people in this time, so that I can help further more and more disclosure from this time forward. So that when I go, if I get back to where I'm actually from, there will be more disclosure and people will be more open-minded to the possibility that this stuff is real. So I crashed the craft, the army came, they took me, they asked me, it wasn't in 1947, by the way, the newspapers say it was 1947, but it actually happened in 1945. But but they kept it under wraps for 2 years because of the ongoing war. When it crashed, they initially asked me if I was German and if I was flying some sort of German craft, because they wanted to make sure I wasn't an enemy combatant or something. I'm like, no, I'm not an American, but I'm from the future. They're like, wait, what?
Yeah, so, what? Why didn't they lock you up? Oh my gosh.
They didn't know what to make of it, and they're like, so eventually it was after a while of like looking around and figuring out what the hell was this thing, and who are these beings, and one of them is still alive. One of them died actually in the crash, and I do feel bad about that.
I was going to say, this is like you just decided to crash. My gosh.
I wanted to further disclosure. So
taking one alien life was worth it.
Well, they can bring them back, and this is an interesting thing. But so the military were like, well, considering the nature of what you're talking about here, like, this is really weird. I said, I need to speak to the president. I need you to get me to the president. And they're like, well, considering the nature of what you're talking about here, I think we can arrange that. So they drove me all the way from Roswell to Washington, D.C. Via back roads, because there weren't highways at the time, in one of those army like troop transportation vehicles with the canvas back that you've seen in like shows like MASH and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They drove me all the way to Washington. It took like a week and a half because there were no highways.
Yeah, of course.
And they took me to the Oval Office. I met Harry Truman, who had just become the president because he was the vice president shortly before that, and the president had died. And he was... Okay, so he had heard about me, and he's like, okay, so if you're a time traveler, how do we end this war? So he was asking me, how do we end World War II? I'm like, well... This is what you do. The history books show that the United States and allies invaded Europe through Normandy and took back France and Germany, and also used atomic bombs against Japan. And he's like, atomic bombs, what are those? He didn't even know what an atomic bomb was. So he had to talk to somebody and find out, like, what's an atomic bomb?
Wow.
Someone told him. It was like, yeah, we have those. These are new, like, test experimental things. So I guess I kind of inadvertently helped end World War II, which I think is kind of nice.
Someone make this man president immediately. Holy moly. Wait a minute. Yeah. What?
So I hung around Washington for 2 years, actually. And I got to know Harry Truman a bit. We became friendly. We became friends, really. I got to know some of my relatives who didn't know that, like, I was related to them, because they didn't know that I wasn't from that time. But I met, like, Roscoe Hillencoder, who was one of the early founders of the CIA, who was actually married to a great aunt of mine. So he was like my great uncle, but I didn't.
So wait a minute, how old were you at this point? You said you were, this was like Europe. When you were in Europe, how old were you?
Well, that was 2019, so you're talking, no, I'm 47 now, so that's 3 years ago. It would have been like 45, 44.
So 45 years old, you crashed into Roswell.
Yep.
And
because,
okay, keep going. Wow.
But the big point there, after all of this happened, we got Harry Truman to officially endorse and give government support to the what we call the Majestic 12 organization, which was initially a group of 12 people who were trusted with the indefinite ongoing mission from that point onward of helping to bring in disclosure of the existence of extraterrestrials and advanced technology. That back in the 1940s, people would lock you up for even talking about
it. Yeah.
So then they brought, so we named it after, we named Majestic 12 after me. Like, it was named after me, MJ, Michael James. And then they brought me back. They used the same traps. They brought me back right to my hotel room in 2019, exact same night. And it was like I had never left, but I had been away for 2 years in the 1940s.
Okay, so they brought you back for two. So you, okay, interesting. So you've had 2 more years of life.
Well, more than that, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
That type of thing started when I was 5 years old. So the first time they did that, they took me on a journey that was literally, it was probably at like 100,000 years or something. It took me everywhere.
What?
Yeah, so I guess if you want to factor in all of that, I'm, probably over 100,000 years old, which sounds crazy. I know, all of this sounds crazy. I don't expect anybody to believe a word.
Yeah.
But yeah. Considering time travel, I'm effectively over 100,000 years old.
Oh wow. Okay. So you're the MJ of MJ12. Now let me just ask you for a second. People say it's bogus, right? People look at the FBI documents that were released in the early 80s, and the FBI has of course said, no, these are fake. What is your response to that? Of course they would deny it even if they were real, but
well, writing the word bogus on something doesn't make it bogus.
Right.
And obviously there's an ongoing mission, I guess, to kind of keep worldwide panic from erupting by leaking some and then denying and then leaking some more and then denying. It's like two steps forward, one step back kind of thing, so that eventually when it all does come out, it'll be just like, no big deal. And no one's going to bat an eyelid. No one's going to, rise up against the government for not telling us everything all at once,
Right. Have you ever, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you've ever talked to any of the Stanton Friedman when he was alive or any of the other big UFO people, but did you know anybody who was a researcher that said, oh yeah, this makes sense where you come from? Does anybody else corroborate your story of being an MJ-12 member?
I know some of the other current members, actually.
Current members?
Yeah, well, there's a new, there are 12 people who have been assigned to be part of the committee, basically.
How's the mission going?
It seems like we're doing fine. It's like, if I look back at what's happened since 1947, there's been an endless sea of UFO movies, UFO TV shows, books, you name it. So it seems like people are really used to the idea of there being extraterrestrials. And if they actually saw one, it probably wouldn't shock them.
Is that the idea, just the slow conditioning of everybody?
It's not really a conditioning. It's more like a gradual disclosure, because people can't handle the entire truth all at once. I don't think. It just seems like it would be too much for people, and we'd all, you know, people would just panic. Most people wouldn't get out of bed, this kind of thing. Like, your whole life would change if you conclusively knew that we're not alone in this universe, and that there's much more advanced technology and science to this universe than we are capable of. What do you think?
I think it would. I also think it would hurt. Well, I mean, the biggest threat, of course, is corporate, right? Corporate elitists, that the big names that would want to stop us, knowing that we could travel anywhere and we would have free energy and all this stuff. I mean, I don't even know how we'd even get disclosure the way society is set up right now.
Yeah. Well, it's happening slowly, and
maybe that's what you'll do as president. I mean, is that part of your drive to become president? Would you put a hard fist down against the top 1% so we could get this technology out there? I mean, what's your platform here?
Well, I don't think the so-called elites are really going to be able to do much. I mean, we're already moving away from their system, their money system, as far as the new concerns. It's like, I mean, we have Bitcoin. We have cryptocurrency. We don't need banks. We don't need, you know, huge corporations. We don't need to borrow money. We don't really even need jobs anymore. It's like, you know, you can make a living just by holding the right things. You know, and you can make a really good living just by putting your money into Bitcoin.
But what if Bitcoin just crashed, though? Do you think, or did it crash, or is that the story the mainstream is telling us to?
Yeah, they're telling us this kind of stuff, but it really isn't. I mean, it's, you know, what is it, $30,000 for Bitcoin? A year or two ago, it was like $9,000, you know?
Yeah. But tell me this, Michael. You've also been to the future.
Mm-hmm. This is true. So I can kind of tell you what's going to happen.
I was going to say, I mean, yeah, you know, let's not kid around here. I mean, if you've been to the future, you also know where we're headed.
I have a vague idea. I mean, nothing is completely set in stone. It is sort of, there are variables and things can change, but there are things that are basically unchangeable. And
what makes something changeable versus unchangeable in a timeline?
That's a good question. What makes it changeable versus unchangeable? Well, I mean, for instance, I don't think you'd be able to stop Abraham Lincoln from being assassinated, for instance, or unfortunately, because I like Abraham Lincoln, but, you know, and conversely, I don't think you'd be able to kill Adolf Hitler as a baby, which I wish you could, but you can't. You know, it's these are the things that are unchangeable.
Would you have been able to stop the Roswell crash if you wanted to?
Yeah, that's another thing. I don't think so, honestly. I think it was meant, it's one of those immovable objects in that just simply can't be stopped. Certain people would have probably loved for it never to happen, because it would have kept them rich and it would have kept everybody else in the dark. But it's just, it already happened and it's too late, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Michael, look, I know you probably are, you know, someone that doesn't want to necessarily do a tour talking about this stuff. Besides your music tour, Young Astronauts Club, check them out. They're on the internet. They're on Spotify, all this stuff. But, you know, I'm just imagining what would happen if you were to talk to Bill Cooper or Philip Corso or even George Knapp, you know, and you were to come out strongly and say, I was the one that crashed into Roswell. Do you think they'd look at you with a crooked face too? I mean, what would you anticipate?
Well, I don't even know who those people are, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, that's how out of it you are. I'm naming all the big UFO buffs and authors who've talked about it, but you're in it. It's a whole different thing when you're actually in it.
Yeah, I don't know who they are. I know who guys like, let's see, I know who Whitley Strieber is, Julie Strieber,
Yeah.
Soviet Union. I know who Bob Lazar is.
Did you ever meet Bob?
Yep. I certainly did.
Oh, what's that story?
Well, Bob was recruited by MJ-12, so.
Okay, so you were part of the team
Well,
that recruited him.
I am MJ-12.
Are you the head?
It's me. Like I'm the guy, you know.
Are
I
there
know.
other humans on this planet right now that consciously recognize you as the leader of this group?
I believe so. Yes, there are, and I believe there will be others. I think there are people who you've heard of who will eventually be will come around to being part of it. We're a few members short at the moment, so but.
He's looking at me right now. Are you recruiting? I don't think I have the military stamina.
Well, we're not recruiting, but we're not recruiting. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that.
Ah, crap. It is. Oh my gosh. This is a, I mean, look, from all I've heard about secret space programs, at least this is one where it seems like you have power. Andy Bashago talks about never getting paid. I've had multiple people on the show say, yeah, they just kind of torture you. You're asleep at night, and then the next moment someone's grabbing your legs, pulling you through a portal, and then you wake up the next day with a scar that came out of nowhere, and there's no money. What is
Well,
your
that's money,
experience?
yeah. Well, my experience is, what's money anyway? And
Fair enough.
yeah, my experience is also, it's like, I've been in fights my whole life. A little bump or a bruise or a scar isn't really a big thing. So I think a lot of people just kind of make a bigger deal out of stuff than really is the case, you know? Because
Does
I don't.
this stuff happen though? Like
Oh, yeah.
the people are doing jumps at night, like they're in bed and
Yeah.
then.
Yeah, there's absolutely all kinds of stuff going on, but I think ultimately you are responsible for yourself. And you know, it's very easy to kind of take an experience that you may have had and paint it in a negative light, but it doesn't have to be that way, I don't think. I think a lot of these things are very, you know, for me, it's all positive, frankly. It's like, yeah, you know, maybe I have a bruise on my arm, or I may have a mark on my shoulder, or whatever, but it's like, it goes away, you know.
But
I
don't you,
don't
I mean, that's interesting. Why? I mean, I would hate to just use like the victim consciousness kind of excuse for people that are non-consentingly getting pulled into secret space missions.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to consent. I mean, you could. I don't know. I mean, if someone gives you a winning lottery ticket, but they hit you over the head with it, does it matter? You know what I mean? It's like.
So you think at the end of the day it's all worth it? Like if a secret space program person comes forward, like I don't know. I mean Tony Rodriguez, guy I had on the show, said he was at the Ceres colony and just has a lot of trauma still and works with people to remove the trauma. I mean, where do you how do you deal with what is your position on that?
Yeah, trauma is not fun, but you know, life is trauma, and you can get traumatized walking down Fifth Avenue. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't.
Oh my gosh. I love your nonchalant attitude about the secret space program, given that it's
Well,
so mired in, I mean, people compare it to MK Ultra, but was MK
okay.
Ultra okay?
It's a different thing, isn't it? It's more. That's kind of, I think, more of a violation of free will. And they did say they stopped doing that in the 1970s. I don't think they did. I'm not really keen on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because people don't really know what they're getting into, you know.
Well, that's good. So you do have a moral conscience when it comes to secret government projects. If you don't have free will, then that... Well, I guess that's what I was going to say. It sounds like some of the secret space program people, at least the stories they tell, make it sound like they didn't have free will and they were unpaid.
Well, you know, you win the lottery every day by waking up in America, so... Have you ever been to, you know, Botswana or...
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It's like, I just think people make a bigger deal out of stuff than it really is. And I think some people kind of like, I hate to sound like a drill sergeant, but they're kind of babies.
Wow. Now, this is an amazing sentiment, my friend. You are the first person that has been, well, you know what, Andy? Sorry, one sec. I got a cough. My gosh. Okay. Andy Bishago looks at what he did, despite the fact that he wasn't paid, as one of the most amazing things he ever did. Like it was one of the greatest accomplishments a human being could do. When he talks about this, he looks back in reverence at the secret government projects because of the achievements and what he was able to see. Yeah. So I would say he does, even though he's a little pissed that he wasn't paid, I would say that there is a respect, and that's why he's saying disclose time travel, disclose it, look at what America's accomplished. How amazing would it be to showcase the world what technology we have?
Yeah, see, that's where Andy's different, you know, and that's where he and I are actually similar. It's because, like, I look at it like, well, what's the big deal? What's to be so put off by? What's to be upset about? It's like, these people know the truth about this stuff. Shouldn't they be excited about it? You know, the possibilities, the opportunities.
Right. So what do you... Okay. So let's go to the future then. All right. There's part one for you. What do you think? Write me at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram, or you can email me greg@open-loops.com. Yeah, I admire the boldness of this guy. He is very entertaining. I'm sure Young Astronauts Club is a great band. But do I want this man being the president of my nation? But then again, are politicians just telling as many lies as he is, and he just happens to tell them in a lot more interesting way? Not sure. All right, Rodney McGilvery, thanks for the theme music. Thank you, Michael, for coming on. Let me know if you want part two. These loops are sometimes a little too open.